Who's got their Bible ready? Any dust on your Bibles from over the holiday period? Blow off the dust? Or off the? Some of you got a phone or a tablet? Moses used a tablet, didn't he? He came down from the mountain. Sorry. I wasn't even planning that either. I'm just naturally funny. My kids say to me, you shouldn't spend so much time with the rickets. But hey, I don't spend that much time with them, but I've got some fairly bad jokes as well. So anyway, Acts 16, verse 19 to 40. So as you know, this is kind of our first service here in the Boston in 2020. I know Gwil had a New Year's service at the chapel there, but this is our first New Year service. And as some of you know, we had Gary Gibbs down 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. It was a great time together with the wider leadership team, and Gary helped us really to project a bit further into the year. And we're looking at Easter now. So we're looking at an Easter outreach for our church to really start working towards putting on an outreach in Easter. I know some of you are thinking, we're not in Easter yet, but we've got to think ahead, don't we, a little bit. And so he was just helping us to think about how, as a church, we could fulfill the Great Commission, because the Bible says, you know, there's a great command, isn't there? There's a great command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And then Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, didn't he? So as a church, we need to be, you know, we spent 3 years, basically 3 years, of most of my messages, whether you were aware of it or not, were basically only four things. So I preached the same thing all for 3 years. And that was, we're loved by the Father. Unless we have a revelation of how much the Father loves us, then we've got nothing, have we? That's everything. Tozer said, your revelation of God is the most important thing about you. Your revelation of him, or your lack of it, is the most important thing about you. So that's the first thing. And the second was that we're in a church that's in love with Jesus, meaning that we're pursuing intimacy with Jesus. You know, for guys that might be a bit of a strange idea, but we're his bride. So get your head around that one. So we looked at a lot of messages around how do we maintain or nurture our intimate relationship with Jesus. And some of that was about, you know, having a quiet time and pursuing that in our personal lives. You know, the daily disciplines of praying and seeking God. And then it was empowered by the Spirit. We did a whole course on the gifts of the Spirit with Philip Evans at the Encounter School, and on Sunday mornings, talking about how the Holy Spirit has given each one of you gifts, everyone. And it's our job, as we are a Pentecostal church, I believe, aren't we? And so we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, yeah? Amen. So that means that we are not just ones that talk about it, but we're asking God. Paul said, earnestly desire the gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Why? Because it's a great encouraging gift, isn't it? If you can give someone a prophecy, you're really going to build them up. The Bible says that prophecy encourages, exhorts, and edifies. So that's an important gift. That's just one. But there's all other gifts. There's the power gifts, isn't there? The gift of faith, healing, miracles. How much of that do we see? We see a little bit, but we don't see like when Jesus was around. Jesus actually said, he said, as I am, so are you in this world. Meaning there's a potential for each one of us as born-again Christians to be as Jesus was. So can we be? What does that mean? That means that the crowds came to Jesus and every single person that came to him was healed. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where someone came up to Jesus and for healing and Jesus said, actually, your case is just a bit hard, more difficult. I know I'm God, but he didn't say that, did he? Every situation. But then when the day of Pentecost came and the power of God came on the disciples, they were doing the same things as Jesus. They didn't turn anyone away either. They healed everybody. So that's, as Pentecostals, we're not just Pentecostals in name only or just with words. We're a church that seeks the gifts of the Spirit. So we're loved by the Father, in love with Jesus, empowered by the Spirit. And what was the other thing? All the message was, other, you know, messages were about making him known. So in love with the Father, in love with Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, making Jesus known. So what does that mean? It means, yeah, in whatever way you can, letting other people in on the good news that you have. Gary Gibbs is, I think he's great. He says, you don't share the good news with a bad news face. But that doesn't mean we go around preaching to everybody, and that's why we want to do this Under the Influence course. It's really good because, if we don't feel like we're an evangelist, it makes us all feel like one, because we can all move someone a little bit closer to Jesus, can't we? I know at times I've moved people probably further away from Jesus just by maybe an expression on my face or but we all have the potential to move someone a bit closer. You know, your neighbour, when you take them a cake or a meal, or when you do something kind for someone, smile at someone on the street, then that's moving them a little bit closer. Sometimes all I've got to give is just a smile or a friendly hello, but that's sometimes enough, isn't it? So friendship evangelism isn't going down and trying to preach the gospel to someone. It's about moving people closer to Jesus in whatever way we can. So we can all do that, can't we? So those are the four things. Basically, that was our vision. Well, that's the vision for every church, really. That's biblical, isn't it? That's kind of what our purpose in life is, I believe. So can I get a little amen, a little squeak? Yeah. Okay, so that was kind of 2017, 18, 19. So we're in 2020. Can I just ask Kieran, we've got a little bit on the newsletter just that sums up really quickly. I really love Kieran. Not just for that reason, but I write the little blurb and then she makes it readable. So if it was just mine, there'd be no full stops, no capital letters.
Okay, breakout in 2020. I believe God is calling us to break out of containment in 2020. Do you believe God can bring breakthrough in your life this year? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us that the anointing breaks the yoke. That's Isaiah 10:27. The power of the Holy Spirit can break you and I free from mindsets, from habits and limitations, so that we can walk in the promises of God and fulfill those desires that He's placed in us. Breaking out of containment involves enlargement. As we walk in His presence, we grow, we enlarge, and become more and more like Him. In 2018, God called us to enlarge as a church, and the scripture was Isaiah 54:2. Many of you all know it. Enlarge the place of your tent. During 2018, we began to support and encourage Oasis Church in Beaumaris. Oasis is now an Elam church. In 2019, God called us to advance as a church. Genesis 17:1, walk in my presence with integrity. To advance, we must walk in God's presence with integrity, becoming more Christ-like. Looking back over the last 2 years in my own life, this is Gus speaking, I can see some successes as well as some mistakes and regrets. I feel God is still calling me to enlarge, less of me, more of Him. I also know I need greater levels of integrity as I walk in His presence. Anyone else able to relate? And I bet we all say, yeah. This year, let's continue to partner with the Holy Spirit individually and corporately and build on these themes of enlargement, advancement, and breakthrough. Amen.
Thanks, Kieran. So that's just a little bit of an intro. So I've still got 25 minutes, I think. So if you can stay awake. Who can stay awake for another 25 minutes? Yeah. No one. Okay, I didn't see any hands. That's okay. If you fall asleep, that's fine. I understand. As long as I don't fall asleep. Then you'll all wake up. We'll stop. Anyway, so Acts 16. Did I say that before? Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 40. This is a brilliant, brilliant story. And I'm going to build on this story through the message. It happened that as they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." That sounds pretty all right, what she's saying, didn't it? She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Anyone ever felt greatly annoyed? Well, Paul was feeling like that. And he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out of her at that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs that are not lawful for us to accept or observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Now that would not be pleasant, would it? When they had struck them with not just one blow, many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So inner prison, that sounds like maximum security, doesn't it? Verse 25, but about midnight, listen to this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down. This is the jailer before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the jailer asking Paul. And then Paul and Silas said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together. Probably talked about the gospel, about Jesus and how he died on the cross for them, for their sin. He shared the gospel with them. And he took them that very hour of the night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and his whole household, and he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God and with his whole household. So that's what an amazing story. Imagine being Paul, the kind of life that he led. There was not a dull moment, was there? So as Kieran was saying, I believe this year is a year of breaking out. Now you have to say these days what you mean by breaking out. I don't mean in any other way except for breaking out of the limitations and barriers that can be around our lives that hold us and contain us. So this year, I believe, is a year that we can break out. Just as we were mentioning how, you know, there can be, God can give us like a focus for the year, like he can say maybe this year is going to be a year of enlargement, or we're going to advance this year, or we're going to break out this year of containment. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen, does it? You know, I bet in 2018, there were some people who enlarged. I hope I enlarged a bit, but there may be some people who shrunk. Or, you know, there may have been some people advancing in 2019, but maybe there were some people retreating. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone because I don't know how much I advanced last year. But the point is that this focus or this word, prophetic inspiration that God gives us, is conditional on our obedience. The word only works for those who work the word. Does that make sense? Meaning we need to obey the word. We need to, and it doesn't mean that we can do it in and of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit, as we spend time with him, gives us the strength to do those things, doesn't he? So who, can I ask you a question then? Who, if you just reflect for a moment, I know we spent some time reflecting with Mike, but can you think of any areas of containment in your own life? I can think of, in my own life, attitudes that contain me. I can sometimes only get so far, then I trip over because my attitude only allows me to grow to a certain point and then I behave in a certain way. Or there can be things in our lives that contain us. We can't seem to get beyond those things. Can anyone think of anything like that in their life? You don't have to nod that vigorously. That's right. Some people can relate to me. with that. There are things that are containing us. They can be in our circumstances. They can be in our relationships, in our finances. They can be attitudes. They can be thoughts. But God is calling us to break out of containment. So this is what I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you a major key this morning. And I'm going to speak a little bit next week about some things as well. But I want to give you some really, really important keys. Can I ask you another question? This is question time. How would you feel, or what would be your response if you were beaten for your faith, or you were beaten? So what would your response be? Can anyone have a think about that? So what we're going to do, we're going to do a practical demonstration this morning. So I'm just going to call up, who's probably the best Christian in this? Probably Roy. Okay, Roy. We're just going to beat you. So that's a scary thought. I find that sometimes I feel like if we were to line up the worst Christian to the best Christian in the world, or even in this room, someone's got to be the worst Christian, don't they? Oh, I sometimes feel like I'm the worst. Someone has to be though, don't they? But seriously, thinking about it, I think about my own self. You know, Paul, what was his response? When he was beaten and put in jail and he's in the stocks, his response is prayer and praise. When someone misunderstands me, I get in a sulk. If I do something kind for someone and then they treat me, maybe not treat me the way I think they should because of what I'm going to sulk. Here's Paul. He's just been beaten. He's not just one beat, both of them. The living daylight's beaten out of them, put in jail, and they're praying and praising God. That, to me, is an amazing response. But how did he get to that point? How did Paul, the apostle, get to the point where he could praise God after a good, solid beating? I'm not sure. Let's have a look. I believe, and we can see what happened. We read the story. Was anyone following, as we were reading, was anyone following the story, or did you switch off? Because it's important that you remember the story, because we're going to keep referring back to it. But you'll see what happened as a response to their prayer and their praise. What actually happened to their circumstances as they did that? What actually did happen? They broke out of containment, didn't they? They did a jailbreak. There was an earthquake. A supernatural occurrence happened. The earth shook. The prison doors opened. The chains came off. Now, some of you think, that's just a fairy story for back then. It's a true story, and it's happened in modern history as well. If you read The Heavenly Man, Brother Jan, the same thing happened with him. So it's not just a fairy story. This is a response to the faith. The Bible says that faith pleases God. Nothing pleases God more than an act of faith. And here was an act of faith by Paul, and we can see that he broke out. But how do we become like Paul? Say Paul's a fully grown, mature Christian. Might be us, in our nappies. How do we get from where we are? I'm talking about myself. Don't worry, Gene. No, I'm not accusing. That's what I feel like, a little baby with my nappies on. There's Paul with his, praising God after a beating. I think the first place to start is we need to praise God. Now, some of you, I'm not sure if you're like me, but some of you, even when things go well, sometimes I forget to praise God. So here's a good starting point. 2020, if anything goes your way, if you can see God's favor in anything, praise Him before you forget. Because if you forget, the next thought will be, I think I did that. I was pretty clever. That was just because I've got the charm, and that's not true. So praise Him when things are going well. If there aren't things going well, begin to praise Him in faith for who He is. And the Bible tells you a lot about who God is, doesn't He? You know, praise him because, or praise him for his faithfulness in the past. I praise you, Lord, because you've been faithful. I praise you because you provided, you healed. I praise you because you brought peace into that situation. I praise you because you gave me the ability to react in that situation when I know naturally I would have blown my stack or whatever. Praise him. Begin to praise him for things in the past. Is that a good idea? Praise him for things when they go well. Praise him for things in the past. Praise him for his attributes. Praise him that he's your good shepherd. Begin to use the Bible to think of things to praise him for. Become a person of praise. The next step, which is a little bit harder, and some of you might be further along than me, is praise him when things aren't going so well, in faith. How can you do that? How can we do that? Now, I'll give you a little story that illustrates one lesson that I learned in this area. I went surfing at Cable Bay with Ethan, and he was surfing, and I'd come in, and I was standing on the beach taking videos of Ethan surfing. And his booties kept filling up with water, ballooning out. So he took them off and he said, "Dad, can you look after these?" And then he went out and I was sort of holding them and doing the videoing at the same time. Not long after that, I realised that I'd lost one of the booties. And that's just reminding me of still. I lost one of the booties. And my initial reaction was anger. I hate losing things. I hate wasting things and losing things. And so my initial reaction was one of frustration and anger. Then in that moment, when I was battling with that, the Lord spoke to me. And this is what I believe. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "The reason why you're so angry is because you don't believe I can turn the situation around for your good. If you believe that, you know, if you believe what you read, you know, that all things work together for those." He didn't say all that. I'm adding this now, but I'm thinking about that afterwards. But basically, God was saying, "You don't believe I can turn this around." And that was enough. I suddenly realized that I was in unbelief. And my unbelief was that I didn't believe God was good. Because I didn't believe anything good could come out of my mistake. I didn't mean to lose the booty, but to cut a long story short, I found the booty. It floated in on the wave. I grabbed it and I found it. I was relieved. If it hadn't shown up, God still would have brought good out of it in some other way. But can you hear the point? It's in those moments where we think God can't bring anything good out of this. That's the moment. In the moment, we have a choice either to praise him in faith that he will bring good out of it, or just count it as a hopeless case. Now, we're people of faith. We're people, that's why we're called believers, because we believe. What do we believe? We believe God is good. The Bible says God is good. So we can praise him, even in a horrible situation, can't we? But I'm just saying, we start small. But yeah, we start small and we build up. And that's how Paul, I believe, did that. He became a person of praise. Going back to the story of Paul and Silas, we've looked at how they, in response to what happened to them, they prayed and they praised. Two P's, okay? Now, the reason why I'm going to give you a few P's is because I'm surprised how little people remember from a sermon that's preached. Normally it's just the joke. That's all they remember, yeah? And I'm the same. And I had a friend who had his interview for ordination, and one of the questions that they asked him, this was on a Monday, he preached on Sunday. They said, "What did you preach on Sunday?" And he'd forgotten. And he was the one that preached it. So I'm not having a go, but we need to retain. Jesus said that the seed that fell on good soil were those who retained it, persevered in it, and produced a good crop. So how can we apply what we don't retain? So I'm just trying to help you retain a bit. So prayer and praise. Can you repeat that after me? Prayer and praise. Sounds like Mr. Popper's Penguins. Prayer and praise. Now I'm going to add another P in there. Can you say purpose? Prayer, praise, and purpose. Is that really fast? Now, make a little mental note to yourself to remember prayer, praise, and purpose. Now, hopefully, if you remember prayer, praise, and purpose, then you'll remember the story of what happened to Paul, and then you might tie some of it you know, the other stuff that I've said to those points. So anyway, that was the other element here, was purpose. Purpose. Now the reason why they could pray, the reason why they could praise God, was because they had a purpose before they even went in there. Yeah? What was their purpose? Now, if you study the life of Paul, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the high calling. This one thing that I do. He was so focused down to one thing. This one thing I do. He had one purpose. So when he found himself in a situation like that, there was only one thing he would do. Because he knew he only existed on planet Earth for one thing. What was that? So when he found himself, I bet as soon as they were in those stocks, that purpose was still burning white hot in Paul, and I bet he was praying for the jailer. Man, I wonder why God's put me here. I'm going to pray that this place, there's a revival here. I'm going to pray that the jailer gets saved. I'm going to pray. I know I'm going to be out of here soon. And if I'm not, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going forward. I'm going to praise. I'm going to, you know. And he had such a passion for God. It was burning within him. And because of that, you know, we know that God, he was right there and shook. And we saw what happened. The jailer. I can almost guarantee, I'm going to talk to Paul, and you can ask him too when you get to heaven. I bet they were praying for that jailer and their faith. They knew that if a miracle happened, they knew that that jailer would, and his family would get saved. And I bet it wasn't just the jailer and his family. I bet his family knew other people, and I bet when they got saved, they shared the good news, and man, there would have been an amazing move of God that would have happened there. So let's just say, before we forget, let's just say those three P's again. What are they? Good to hear a voice other than my own. Thank you. So there are some keys to break out in 2020. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. Now, if you go on to a cessationalist, backward, conservative, traditional website and look up, they'll try and explain away that scripture somehow. But I believe it's true. God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits people of praise. What does inhabit mean? It means he lives within people of praise. You know, we live in a town called Holyhead, and on the best of days, it's not the most, I mean, there's some lovely people here, but we need to move the atmosphere over Holyhead from one of depression to one of joy. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, we live in Holyhead. We don't live out in the, we live right in Holyhead, and we need that. We need to become, Kieran and I, we need to become people of praise. It's not the most joyful place to live sometimes, but if we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, if we become a church, a praising church, I'm sure we can begin to move the atmosphere that's over our town, over our island, and we can. If putting on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, obviously that's shifting the heaviness. And what's going to replace the heaviness? The joy, the lightness, the joy. You know, joy. Who wants more joy? You know, why do people turn to drugs? Why do people turn to alcohol? They say that people in pain seek pleasure. Why? Because there's no joy. Now, if joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and praise brings the presence of the joy of the Holy Spirit, we can say that praise brings the presence of God. Praise fills us with the Spirit of God. Can you see how we did that? So that verse is true. God does inhabit people of praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. Now, is this just a general message that could be preached at any time in any place and would still be a blessing if we could apply it, if I could apply it? I'm preaching to myself as well. Yes, the answer is yes. But That's true, but this is a specific message for this moment, in this time, for this year. And we don't know why, but this is what I believe God is saying to us as a church for 2020. That it's a key. That if we will become a people of prayer, praise and purpose, particularly praise, then there's going to be something released over the church, over the town, in our own lives. There's going to be things, containment that we'll break out of. It will happen. There's no doubt about it. So I just want, have you got those things, Paul? I just want to show you something quite interesting just to finish. This is a Hebrew letter. Now, this is just, I'm not basing my message because of this, but this was an interesting confirmation of what was on my heart already. Now, that Hebrew letter, now we're in the year 2020, the Hebrew calendar, we're in the Greco-Roman calendar, the Hebrew calendar is 5,780. Now, that pay is, in Hebrew, they don't have numbers, they just have letters that have numerical value, and that is 80 pay. So they're 5,780. 80 is the decade we're in now in the Hebrew calendar. Does that make sense? So that word pay actually means mouth. It's a mouth. It's got some other things. It means, basically, it means mouth, yeah. Now, the other interesting thing about it is, see on the right-hand side, there is another, you can see it, it's like a U on the side. That's another letter as well. And that letter is within the mouth, and that is the Hebrew word for house. It's also, if that little word letter is used as a prefix, it was the first word in the entire Bible, in the beginning, in. So it's the first word. So what does all that mean? Interesting that 2000 and in the last decade, the word that signified 5,770 was the word for sight, vision, a decade of vision. Now it's the mouth. Just interesting, really, because I believe 2000, because apparently in the Hebrew, you know, in the Hebrew culture, they believe that the coming of a new decade within the Hebrew message, God was saying something. God, the Creator, was saying something about that decade. That was just what they believed. But what I believe God's saying is that the key is in the mouth and it's praise. Now, the other thing, interesting thing is the key's in the mouth, but if that little word, it's the name of the word is, I'm not explaining it too clearly, hopefully you're getting it, is bet. So that one there. Have I got another slide there, Paul? That one there in the middle is bet. That's the in, first word of the Bible. Now what the Lord spoke to me was, he said that the key is praise. The key, it's in your mouth. The key is praise. And it's the first letter of the Bible. So the Lord said to me, think about the first word that comes out of your mouth. Let it be a word of praise. Yeah? Interesting. Did that make any sense whatsoever? So I'm going to finish with this, but so often when I find myself in situations, the first word that comes out of my mouth is an indication of what's in my heart. Does that make sense? Like, for instance, the story I told you about Ethan, I lost the booty. The first word that would have come out of my mouth was, damn, you know, that reveals unbelief. Whereas if the first word that comes out of my mouth, I train it to be a word of praise, oh, praise you, God, you're a good God, you're going to provide. I'm not saying you have to say it verbally, but under your breath or whatever. Let's make the first word in those difficult situations that we find ourselves in, can we ask the Lord to bring us into a place where we can, our first word will be a word of praise. Does that make sense? Now, to get to that point, God's going to have to do some work in our heart so that that first word will be praise. Because not everything, we hope, God says, the plans I have for you are good and not for evil, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. But Not everything that happens in 2020 will necessarily be what you want. There may be things that you do that bring things that are hard or difficult. What I'm saying is, let's make a commitment within ourselves or a resolution within ourselves to be people of praise this year, to have the first word on our mouth to be praise. And we're going to fail. There'll be times when things go wrong and we'll probably say a word that we don't want to say. But then let's just remember this and think, no, okay, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm going to praise you. We'll go from unbelief to faith. I didn't want that to happen, but I'm going to praise you because you can turn that around. Just as you turn that situation around for Paul and Silas, you're going to change. You're going to work in the situation. You're going to bring a miracle. You're going to bring provision. You're going to bring healing. You're going to bring restoration. You're going to bring health. You're going to bring change. You're going to bring an overcoming spirit. And then we can begin to be people of praise, people of faith. So can we just, Karen, can you just jump up on the keyboard? What was that one with praise? Yeah. So I think this morning, if you're happy for 2020, if God has put something in your spirit, if it resonates with you, if you think, yeah, that is a word from the Lord specifically for this moment, this time, then could we stand together and let's just cry out to God. Let's pray that God will supernaturally put that within our heart. We can't do it for or to ourselves, can we? I can't. But God says he can work in you to will and to act. Let's ask that God works in us this morning. Is that okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the challenges you've helped us to overcome in the past. We're going to continue to be people of praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you want to respond this morning to the message, and I just want to pray for you this morning. So if that's you this morning, and it's me, I'm including myself in it, let's pray and ask God to build that characteristic in our heart, in our spirit, to a greater degree. There's always challenges in life. But God's looking for the response, our response to those challenges. Like Paul and Silas, their response was praise. Their purpose was to obey and fulfill the call of God. So Lord, I just pray for every person here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the victories we've had in the past. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who's for us and not against us. You're a good God. You're a God who has good plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And Lord, we pray for 2020 that we'll stand here next year and we will have become greater in that area of being people of praise. Lord, I pray that you would breathe that into our spirit this morning. Lord, the ability to praise you in those moments, Lord, where we choose our response, those little moments of every day that will become people of praise, Lord. And also people of prayer, people who commune with you, who connect with you, who talk to you, who fellowship with you, and people of purpose, Lord. Help us to find our core purpose in you, Lord, the reason for us to be here on this planet, to bring you pleasure, to do your will, and to enjoy fellowship with you and with your people. Father, I pray you breathe over the church this morning. Fresh life, Lord. Fresh encouragement, Lord. Fresh hope, Lord, I pray. Lord, lift off the despondency and discouragement, Lord. Breathe fresh hope, we pray, for 2020, Lord. We believe in for great things, Lord. As we continue to enlarge as a church, as we continue to take steps and advance your kingdom over Holyhead and over the island, Lord, we pray we'd develop and grow and become more in you, Father, this year. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.